This week's episode comes from our National Etch Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for Etch, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the Etch Conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. I am joined right now by a good friend of Lifeway Kids, Heidi Hensley. Heidi, welcome.
Thank you.
She is here as one of our attendees, but really as one of our thought leaders who is pouring out her knowledge and her passion and her experience into our attendees. If you are not here at the Etch Conference, please accept my invitation to come next year. We're going to spend a few minutes talking with Heidi now, but you can come and you can corner her and you can talk for hours on end.
Yes.
And get the whole story. But only if you come to the Etch Conference or track Heidi down at any other of the events where you may find her. But
yes,
come
yes.
to this one. This is the one.
If you're not here, you should be here.
So today, we're going to talk about family ministry.
Yes.
We'll discuss and discover how to turn your passion mm-hmm. and your vision into a strategy. We need strategy. So many leaders love the idea of an active family ministry. They want to have that, but they're mm-hmm. not sure how to get started.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next few minutes, we will look at several ways to get started. We may have a plethora of ways that we can talk about how to get started, how to form a plan that fits your church's culture. So Heidi, for those of you who don't know Heidi Hensley, she is the children's pastor at Bayside Church in Granite Bay, California. She has a wonderful husband and two teenage boys, and she's passionate about family ministry and connecting leaders in ministry to build a strong, supportive network as we reach kids for Christ in our churches. So, Heidi, let's talk about the strategy here for family ministry. How do kids ministry leaders discover their passion, first of all, for family ministry?
Well, I think it's the understanding that it's not separate. So if you're ministering to a child, you are, by default, ministering to the family. It's not really are you doing it well? So coming to that conclusion, I think most people have a desire to do it better when they realize they are already doing that anyway. Yeah.
So it's kind of an extension of what we do,
right?
So at most basic level, what are we doing that touches the family?
What are we doing that touches the family? So we are, one of the primary things that you're going to find a kid learning in the home is what they think of the church and what they think of God. We are working to help shape that. I think that automatically puts us on the same team as mom and dad. So the question is, how can we do that better? And when you really assess like the families that are in your church, typically we see brokenness, we see broken families, broken homes, and broken people usually raise broken kids. And so the understanding that whether it's divorce, whether it's, you know, addiction, whatever it is, ministering to the whole family is going to produce a much more rounded, healthy kid in that ministry. Yeah.
And so each church has its own culture.
Yep.
Right. And so we need to come up with a strategy that fits the culture of our church.
Yeah.
So how do we go about, first of all, identifying our church's culture? For some of us, it's maybe very clear mm-hmm. what that is. Is there some work others may need to do to help identify that culture?
Yeah.
And how do we work within the church culture to get to achieve our goal?
Yeah. So one of the ways that you identify your church's culture is you look at the families, kind of assess the needs. For most churches, they can identify, I'm in a really poverty-stricken area. So that automatically gives you an angle that you're working towards. For us personally, we are in a affluent area. But what we found was our kids were very surfacey. There was a lack of depth. So one of our primary focuses for the family is pushing down discipleship and giving those kids roots and depth. So it's usually making a list of your needs. And from those needs, it will probably rise to see what is my greatest platform for these kids.
So really it begins with some type of assessment that you need to do.
Yeah.
So how do you go about, well, let's talk about some practical things. How do you form a plan then?
The plan. So there's a few steps. If you are just getting started, you haven't done anything family ministry wise, the first thing you want to do is probably form a pool of people that's going to pray. period. You're seeking God. You're seeking God to lead in a way that you're going to discover what your weak spots are, what your strong spots are. And those people are going to become your advocates. They're going to be the people who own this. And that's going to lead into the questions of what do we offer? Where are we lacking in these needs? And then from there, it really does turn into, I think the difference that I had in this breakout is I'm not telling anyone to go out and buy a curriculum. I'm not telling them to go out and buy a plan. Mm-hmm. It's more so, what are we doing as a church already? Mm-hmm. Many of us are doing it. It's just so scattered that we don't do it together.
Yeah, it's not coordinated.
It's not coordinated. Yeah. So instead of doing men's ministry, women's ministry, kids ministry, students, marriage, singles, all these things as silos, if we do them more intentionally, where they lean on one another, you probably already have the elements of a family ministry. It's just you're probably not doing it intentionally. So that's one of the places to start.
So if we are leading this idea from a kid's perspective or even from a student leader perspective,
yeah,
we have a limited realm of influence.
Yep.
How do you begin there? Who do you engage with? And what are those initial conversations within maybe across teams, right? Silo to silo to say, hey, students, let's connect on this. Hey, senior pastor, adult ministries, how do we connect? What are those initial conversations like? If you are the kids leader and you're saying, yes, we need this.
Yeah.
What can you do from that role to get it started?
The first conversation is probably, how are we handing off? So when I hand off a kid to student ministry, I want to know what their expectation of that child is. Mm-hmm. How can I fulfill that? How can I get that kid ready? From that perspective, that really does lead into if they want them to be at this level, then what is the next level? And that really does open it up. I have found that conversation paired with a conversation with a senior pastor of going, what do you want the ideal family in our church to look like, gets them excited about that design and that model.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so do you find that is often warmly received by that student leader? This is something that they're looking to engage with? Or is there sometimes a challenge there in getting that connectivity?
Yeah, definitely sometimes challenge. I think that's why it's important to start small. Mm-hmm. So starting with the approaching it more of a, how can I serve you in this way?
And that transition is a great
And the transition
example.
Happens. It's again, are we doing it right?
Yeah.
And so I've never really met a student pastor who didn't want to discuss that piece. And if they did, I would kind of question that.
But there is a partnership. And honestly, as we look at a child's entire development, if we begin with the end in mind, what do we want when this child, if we have them from the moment they're born until they turn 18, to have a strategy for their for discipleship and for their spiritual development and growth, we need to collaborate across lines. So I would think that would be received.
And it really does kind of work out. I told someone earlier, it almost looks like a scope and sequence for a child's life.
Yeah.
But the reality is most of us can look at it and go, okay, I have this tiny infant in my hands. What would I hope for them to be their experience from cradle to college in our church? And what does that college student need to look like to be successful as an adult in our church? And that's where your journey of, you know, their life comes in. And it really does need to be mapped out and make sure that you're hitting all the necessary points. When are you discussing communion or baptism or salvation or prayer? When are these things happening? Because probably if you don't know when they're happening, there's probably a few that aren't, assuming that one party or the next is doing it. So you might be leaving some things off there.
So many churches are moving to a family ministry model.
Yep.
Where there's someone who actually has a role that's a family pastor.
Yeah.
Or a family ministry coordinator of some kind. Mm-hmm. Who connects all these different ministry areas. You see that as a trend? And is this, do you believe that this idea of family ministry is a movement that we'll see happening? Is it something that God's already doing? And the breaking down of the silos, give us some more of your insights as to what you see happening.
I think it's a natural movement, especially as you look at, we just went through the generations in the breakout and talking about, you know, Generation X being this generation who predominantly was not raised in church. They, you know, church became sometimes the option. It's not a blanket for everyone, but those are the parents we're running into where they're bringing us their kids and they have no clue what's going on. Mm. I think because of that reason, and that's going to continue in that fashion, we're going to see more of a need to have kids or family pastors. But for those, our church doesn't have that position. We have all the needs met, But for the most part, there's a couple of us that collaborate, and we make it intentional.
So you don't need to have someone in a formal role in order to have a family ministry.
No, you just need to have a cohesive team.
So it's a mindset.
It can be a mindset, yeah. Mm. And I think it can be successful either way. I think it just fits the culture of the church. Yeah.
All right, so what advice then do you have for that leader who's out there who says, yep, I want to do it. I'm going to engage in that conversation. I'm going to get that plan going. What other tips or ideas do you have to kind of round out that plan? How do I know if I have a solid plan that's ready for me to act on?
Yeah, so if you have a solid plan, it is not reliant on you. So it's a plan that you've discussed probably with a core group of parents who's been praying about this with you, and they're willing to support it. Chances are, if you are a lone ranger riding off into this sunset alone, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be successful. So making sure that you have some like-minded people, they're around you, they're supportive. And then whether it be pulling those ministries in to be collaborative like ours is, or actually championing it and running with it and empowering other people, either way, if you've got a team of people that are helping you design and have vision, I think that's when you know you're ready. If you're still the Lone Ranger, I can't see that being a ready spot.
It takes a team.
It takes a team.
And that's how ministry is meant to be done.
Yep.
Right?
The team doesn't have to be staffed. That's an important thing. Because not a lot of churches just have the ability to go out and grab staff. But it might just be four or five passionate parents who want to dive into this.
So catch a vision, cast a vision, and then execute on that vision.
Yep.
Awesome. Heidi Hensley, thank you so much for being with us. We love having you here at Etch.
Thanks.
And we appreciate you taking time to stop by to talk with us on the podcast. Listeners, thank you for listening. As always, we hope that after you spent time listening to us, that you will leave our discussions informed, instructed, inspired to engage more deeply, more intentionally into your ministry. And we want to encourage you and equip you as you do that.